Welcome back to another episode of the Millennial Gems Podcast. It is your host, K-I-L-L-A. And I got something fresh for y'all for this time, man. This time around, giving y'all something fresh. Last time, y'all might have seen this man's. I had him probably think one of my early episodes. He gave y'all what the definition of sitchy is. And you know what? I felt like we were running in the same lanes for so long that I think I needed to make him a part of this podcast too, because he got some real sitchy shit to say. Like, this is sitchy certified.
Yes,
Mr. Sitchy.
Yes,
any way
sir.
You want to call it.
Yes,
but
sir,
I had to bring my guy, Miles Earl, back on. So he will now be a part of this podcast now. This will now be a two-man thing. All right, so y'all will be able to tune in when we start doing live streams. Some episodes will still keep the interviews, but we will also have a sitchy conversation damn near about every time. And I'm telling you, it's going to be 10 times more sitchy than the first one. So, my audience, welcome back and welcome to the Millennial Gems Podcast permanently, Miles Earl.
Yes, yes.
Hey, what's going on, my guy?
Not much, man. I'm cool, you know. Taking it day by day, grinding every day. You know how that go.
Heard you. Do you want me to call you by Miles, or you just want to call you Sitchy, bro?
Hey, man, whatever you want to call it.
You know what? This because I think Sitchy just sounds like killer, and Sitchy just sound like oh.
Oh, so that's bro, what we doing.
Dynamic
yo,
duo.
Always repping too. We so, always repping. You know,
heard
so,
you. All right, so y'all can address this man as Sitchy. All right, every time you see him, it's Sitchy. Put some respect on it.
Know that.
But I just wanted to start off this episode with kind of just, you know, asking you, like, what have you been into as of lately? Since the last time we had a conversation, we interviewed, like, what's kind of changed? What new things have you started to kind of take on? What new ventures? What's new in your life at the moment?
Yeah, man. So last time we spoke, I was in the process in the middle of, like, a Halloween drop, a Chucky Halloween drop. And yeah, it's been some time.
It looked lit, honestly.
Yeah, you know, it was a nighttime on Sitchy Street with Chucky and a few other the horror film favorites I had growing up. I had put a blend of my old little twist of that on there. Yeah, man, I just been studying every day, watching other podcasts, watching other YouTube videos, and just soaking up the game, looking at people who are doing what I'm doing at a higher level, because I want to be able to imitate that pretty soon. And, you know, when you look at people that are doing what you're doing at a higher level, you get more motivated, you stay motivated, and it's easier for you to stay on track. I don't watch too much TV anymore, to be honest. Like, I couldn't tell you when's the last time an NBA game came on or the last time a certain show came on, because my TV is literally off. You know, before I go to bed, I'm either watching a podcast or I'm editing a video, and that pretty much wraps up my whole day. Like, I'm making up some t-shirts, getting orders done. Yeah, man, my biggest thing is just I don't want to be where I was at last year, so I have to constantly keep growing, constantly keep learning, and imitate the ones that are doing what I'm doing at a higher level, you know, just making sure I have a blueprint to follow through with, and, you know, just staying on task, man, because it's easy to fall off.
And yeah, that for sure. No, I totally agree. Like, I've been kind of in the same row, honestly, running, kind of been doing the same thing for the past maybe like almost 4 years. Like, as of like recently, like, I haven't really watched much TV, to be honest, either. Like, I haven't watched much NBA games. I might have caught like March Madness. I might watch my shows, you know, like Power and BMF, like here and there when they drop. But that's really about the only time I might turn on my TV for like that 1 hour just to watch. Outside of that, I'm right back to just, you know, grinding and trying to just get to the money and kind of just, you know, building up my brand. That's kind of just always been my focus, and it's going to remain my focus until I get where I want to get to.
Absolutely. And that's how it got to be, man. It's like, you look at, like, coming into the space, people see the good side of it. But I wouldn't even necessarily say anything's bad, but it's really just the ugly and gritty side of things as well, because you may see other people, you may see entrepreneurs online flashing the money, flashing the win.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You know, who's really flashing the downfalls and the losses you got to take. Well, actually, let's correct that. The lessons you got to take to come, you know, to convert those back to higher wins. Nobody's really showing that. I mean, a few people are, but you'll see a lot more people, you know, portraying this, oh, entrepreneurship, it's easy, I work for myself, this, that, and the third. But no one's really getting into the itty-gritty about that. And it's important, man, because everybody want to be entrepreneur, but who want to put the work in?
Exactly. And, like, you know? I mean, I've always just looked at, like, social media just, honestly, it got to a point where now it's like I don't believe everything that I see on social media. I've come to believe that social media is literally just a highlight reel. It's a highlight. That's all it is. Like, everybody just highlights all the good. even if some people want to be transparent, about probably 95% of everything you see on Instagram is just the glorified shit. Just all the good, all the positive, like, all the good things that happened. Don't nobody see, like, the gritty, like, when you losing money, when you really... You had a bad deal. Like, don't nobody see the negatives. Everything's just glorified and positive.
Yeah, they're not talking about it. But it's important, though, man, because with every type of success you have, there's some type of process that you have to go through to either learn or be better at what you are working on right now in the future, or, like, you know, however the table want to turn for you. But there's always a stepping stone and learning curve to everything you do, especially if you're trying to be a master at it. And, like, my biggest thing, like I said, I'm really, with this whole entrepreneurship and me just learning more about myself in the process of this, I'm really trying to change the narrative of my household. I'm trying to change the narrative of my family tree. I'm trying to break generational curses. And I'm trying to be that person in the family to break that bridge between being middle class or lower class, whatever you want to call it, to really, you know, being about the Benjamins, as I would say. And what that comes is it's a lot of relearning things, reprogramming your brain, because you can't do the same things you were doing last year and expect new results. Something got to switch up. You got to continue to elevate in any type of way. And with that being said, as you mentioned, you know, what type of things I'm up to now, I'm doing a lot more reading. And I actually just started as YouTube. So I'm on a YouTube journey right now, you know, doing this vlogging, learning about, you know, what type of videos I should be putting out. I'm really in the testing phase right now, seeing what works, what doesn't work.
Yep.
You know, how I should format my videos. Yes, like I said, it's a learning curve right now, and I'm enjoying everything, every process of it, every bit of the process. And bro,
that's literally exactly how I felt with, like, YouTube. Yeah. Like, now, like, I said this year that I was gonna probably start pushing YouTube a little bit more. It's kind of like the main platform that I start to focus on. Mm-hmm. Seeing how, I mean, not that I really care about TikTok. I made an account again and they banned me. I don't know why they banned me. So, you know, really, they can go to hell if they get banned from the US, and so be it. But I can care less. And then, you know, IG is cool. But I just felt like YouTube just might be, like, that platform for me to really, you know, grow an audience, you know, especially, you know, making, like, long form content now. Because, you know, IG, you know, everybody's attention span is so small. And, you know, I understand that, you know, people want scintillating, you know, stimulating content. So, you know, why not work on YouTube? So, yeah, I wanted to just kind of ask you, like, why did you choose to go YouTube route?
Yeah, so
it seemed like TikTok and, like, IG, like, things might have been hitting for you, but, like, why? Not saying, like, you know, you shouldn't have, but just kind of like, what was, like, your I guess your thinking process of, like, all right, I want to make this transition to YouTube.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, and just like I said earlier about just watching people that are doing what I'm doing at a higher level, and I'm seeing what they're doing, and I'm imitating it, and because I'm seeing, first of all, for one, you have to be able to adapt with the time. That's for one. So I'm really taking the whole being in front of the camera thing to another level, because I'm not really the person that's in front of the camera, believe it or not, whether y'all see my videos. But I'm learning how to do that, how to be confident in the videos, and not worrying about any little mistake, because things are going to happen, but I'm really just learning as I'm going. And it's just like, to be honest, like any person that is selling any type of products online, it's easy to sell when you have some type of personality behind it. Mm-hmm. And with, you know, with TikTok and Instagram, yeah, you may be able to make a little bit of like some videos, but they don't necessarily have to have any voiceover. Well, you don't have to even be speaking over them. You can have some type of audio and just record you. But the biggest thing with being a clothing brand owner or just selling anything in general, people want to know what type of person you are. And with the YouTube, I feel like I can display a little bit more of my personality and my messages, as well as just like what I live by with the clothing brand, so people can understand me a little more and have a better feel for me, so that when, if it does come that you feel like you want to purchase something, you know what the value of it is and you know where it's coming from. So I feel like the main thing is just like, on top of it, obviously just wanting to be on YouTube and try the whole YouTube journey out. I think it's really important for my audience to know what type of person I am. And you know, my whole, just like a little more about me, and that's what I plan on doing, just showing a little more of like an inside me with the YouTube. Just so people have a better understanding of what I stand for, you know, who I am, why I'm doing this, where I came from, and what I plan on being in the future. So just, you know, just kind of help new people that are coming into the channel, or older people that are, because believe it or not, you know, a lot of people that support me before through just like the designs, that they don't necessarily know what the whole meaning is. So I feel like when you have somebody that understands the meaning and how they can actually relate it to their life, it becomes more powerful. You become more relatable, and it just makes it a lot more easier to relate to you. And I look at rappers and other actors and things like that. Like, when you're able to connect with somebody, it just makes things a lot more better. You feel like you know this person, even though you really don't. But it's just the connection that just holds the loyalty to that person. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to just really do is just, you know, be in front of the camera and display a lot more of me to my audience, so that we can all grow all together, you know?
So
that's pretty much, you know, how I look at it. And I'm just trying to, like I said, be a little more present in the fact of delivering the messages, delivering my message across the world, so that people don't have any hiccups or disbelief of anything that I haven't necessarily said, because I'm going to display everything else on there. And if anybody has any questions, they could always relate back to my videos. Yeah, man, it's really trying to kind of just set a platform for my audience as well as myself, for us to all just grow together.
I heard you. I want to go back to this idea of like this entrepreneurship, bro, because like you mentioned earlier, this shit ain't easy. Like, this shit is not for the weak. Like, you literally, I've come to learn now in like the past, like, what, almost three years that I've been kind of exploring as being, because of an aspiring entrepreneur or a solopreneur, however somebody wants to describe it. This is hard goddamn work. In the words of Sydney Dean from White Man Can't Jump, this is hard goddamn work. I'm telling you, like, the ups and downs, the roller coaster, like just the emotions, the constantly being in your head, questioning everything. It literally takes a toll on you. Like, there's just been so many instances where I'm just like, yo, am I supposed to be doing this? Like, can I really handle this? Like, this is hard as shit. Like, this is hard. This is probably one of the hardest things I've ever had to commit to in my life. And I don't have a problem committing to things.
Right.
Entrepreneurship, being showing up as one, is hard goddamn work.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of like, just tell me like what's been like your experience like with it, you know, so far.
Yeah. Yeah. So with this whole entrepreneurship, you know, there's highs, there's lows, there's mediums within the business. And then you have the highs, the lows, and mediums within yourself. And what I mean by that is how you see your business, whether you feel like it's going how you want it to go, or if it's going how it's supposed to go, the way you interpret it. And about, you know, just the whole entrepreneurship thing, you have to have a positive mindset, which
always
comes back down into my message and my clothing brand, because things are going to occur. And the only way you get, you surpass them is with a positive mindset. You may have a job where you do really good. You may have a job where you flop. You may lose out on money. But what do you do within that time frame? A lot of people will sit up and blame the close ones that's next to them that because they're not purchasing. But in our reality, what all this is you have to take a step back and look at what worked, what didn't work, what did I do, what can I do better, and move forward doing taking your lessons and applying them and making them your advantage for the next drop or whatever you're doing next. Like, everything is a learning curve, you know? And people look at it as, oh, I lost. People don't support me. No, what didn't you do? Maybe it wasn't maybe your delivery wasn't right. Check how you came out. Was the marketing right? Did you display your message right?
My gosh. Yo, this literally ties into something I literally just learned yesterday. So shout out to David Shands, who doesn't know that I'm like a mentee, and he's like a mentor to me from afar. But David Shands, you know, I've been following him for like the past like maybe two years now. My brother put me onto him about this whole like podcasting thing. So that's why I've started to do the podcasting thing because of him. So shout out to David Shands. But shout I was watching one of his morning meetup episodes yesterday on YouTube, and he was talking about, you know, the reasons why like your business could be broken. Mm-hmm. Like, there's like literally like six things that I saw like he identified. The first one was like, maybe it could be you. You yourself is the person. Yep. Second thing, it could be maybe your price. Third thing, it could be maybe just the product or service itself. The fourth thing, I believe it was the delivery, like pretty much how it's, you know, how it's delivered to the person or so, like I guess the packaging, if I'm not mistaken. I think number five was the attempts. How many people are you asking? Like, how many people are you like telling about your brand, your service, your product? Like, how many people are you telling about it? And then I think the last one, I believe it was your audience. Like, are you talking to the right audience?
Right.
Is who your product or service for the right person. So he was like, yeah, if you know, something in your business is always going to be broken, and it's chances are it's going to be one of those six things.
Yep.
Now, obviously, it's going to differ for everybody, but it's going to be one of those six things. Out of those six things, do you feel like, do you think you know like which one it, you know, which one it might be for you? As of like right now?
Yeah, I mean, I could bring, because I do a lot of reflecting off the rip. And I feel like my main thing right now is like, I feel like I'm at the point where I may need to delegate certain services that I'm doing, because as of right now, I'm doing everything between creating videos, editing videos, creating designs, bringing them to life. You know, I'm the marketing, I'm everything within my business, literally everything.
Yep, which is like, you know, that's standard. You know, we're always gonna have to wear every hat at any beginning time. You're gonna have to wear every single hat until you can got the capital to you know, start delegating and paying other people to do, you know, certain jobs.
And don't get me wrong, I love every aspect of it, but when I'm really looking at things and how I feel like I can be more productive. If I have someone doing this for me, well, I can do this something else. That's when you really start worrying about the elevation of your brand, because based off where you want to go will determine how, you know, what you need to do. If you're comfortable with just being a one man band, that's going to be cool. But you put a ceiling to everything at that point, because only one person can only do so much. And even if you do gain a lot of success, you're going to need. The time it's going to take for you to do things is going to be a lot more longer, a lot more longer.
I've always heard, like, you know, from, again, from, like, listening to the Social Proof podcast with David Shands and Donnie Wiggins that I believe most entrepreneurs, like most people, can get themselves to six figures by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's just now when you try to scale to like, you know, 7 to 8 figures, now you're like, okay, now you need to make sure you're getting like a team behind you, because I don't believe like, it could be possible, but you know, I'm truly confident that I can make it to, you know, 500,000, you know, 750K, you know, by myself. But you know, trying to push that million, you know, like in a year, or maybe like net a million. Yeah, you're gonna probably need to start putting some bodies in place to help you scale that up to do that, to attain that.
Yep.
So, you know, I wholeheartedly agree about, you know, delegating tasks and stuff. Like, I used to feel like that, like, early on when I was doing, like, the well-being stuff. I'm like, damn, I need to pay somebody else to do marketing and stuff like that. I need to pay somebody else to do, like, sales. But I'm like, wait, you know what? I haven't even learned how to do this yet. So, I mean.
Exactly.
I can reach out, but it's like also, like, I don't have funds to pay anybody to literally do that. So it's like, at this point right now, I just need to learn how to be a better marketer, how to sell to people. Like, you know, it's just, you just got to take what's given to you right now at the moment.
Exactly, bro. Yo, and I'm glad you said that, because that ties back into time. We all got time, but it's what we're doing with our time. Like, you can't tell me you want to be successful. You're waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, 2 o'clock p.m.
Yeah, I was about to say it. I was like, yo, Eric Thomas get up at 3 a.m. So
you can't tell me you want to be successful when you're waking up at 2 o'clock and the first thing you do is turn the game, play 2K. There's no way your day, by the time 2 o'clock hits for certain people, their day is pretty much over. Yeah, some people are up at 5 a.m. And look, think about it. You think about your average work schedule time frame, right? Some people are going to work from, what, a 6 to 2 or a 2 to 10 or whatever. Like, anywhere within that time frame, if you put it from that perspective, 2 o'clock p.m., you're getting off of work. Like, your average person, if they were going in at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Well, your average person probably, I mean, 9 to 5 is like the the standard, like, work range. But, like, no, right. I see what you're saying, though. Like, you know, like that, you know. I honestly look at it as like, yeah, if you're getting up like, you know, 8, 9 o'clock at this point, it's like, okay, you know, day's kind of going, but like, you know, I'm assuming you got to be rich if you're getting up at 8, 9 o'clock, or you just really just cool with your, you know, where you are. But like you were saying, like, if you really want to be successful, you're going to have to get up a little early. You're going to start your day a little earlier. Like, I've gotten comfortable now getting up at 4:30, and my body gets me up naturally at 4:30 in the morning. Even on days where I'm not going to work, like, I can naturally get up. And the latest I will absolutely probably sleep in is probably maybe like 6 o'clock. And like, you know, a habit that I've tried to make sure that I don't do is like, you know, when I get up, to try to not look at my phone, because that's a habit. Like, it's, we're all creatures of habit. And like, that's one habit that's like, we're all going to do it. The first thing we do, you open our eyes. We turn right over to that phone just to see what was going on throughout the night, just to recap what happened last night. And I'm like, that is so like toxic to us, and toxic to our brains.
It's crazy you say that, because I was just saying to myself the other day, like, I woke up one morning. Well, for one, kudos to you for getting up at 4:30. I'm not quite there yet. At that age, I know if I once do that, I could do that. But I had woke up one day, probably at like 8 o'clock. And I had literally looked at my phone, went from swiping it up to hop on Instagram. Next thing you know, an hour went past by, bro. From just scrolling, watching other videos linked to this video, another video linked to this video. Next thing you know, an hour passed by. And it's not to say that, you know, things are not going to catch your attention. Of course they are. But that's an hour I could have been doing something else.
Yep.
Like, literally. And that shit just passed me by from being sucked into the internet, from that being the first thing. And not only did I notice that I felt a little more like sluggish, I'm just not processing things as fast as I normally do when I wake up, drink water, shower, boom, boom. I'm more on a steady, like, ready to go shit. But mm-hmm. that the phones will really, they will drain the energy out of you. Just being on behind these screens for too long, it will drain the energy out of you.
It will.
It will literally
screen
drain.
Screen sucking is bad.
It's bad. Absolutely. Screen sucking is bad. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to sit up and act like I'm perfect because, you know, things happen. And you have to go through certain things so that you can talk about certain things like this. Like, if you haven't woken up late before, how can you speak about what it's like to wake up late and, you know, later message type thing? So, like I said, when nobody's perfect, this is really just to get, you know, the views, whoever's watching is to be aware and be mindful of certain things. If you're trying to get to a certain level, there's certain things you got to avoid. There's certain things you got to stop doing. You got to reprogram your brain because everybody wants to be successful, but not everybody want to put in the work.
Exactly. And, you know, it ain't nothing that you need to, like, rush into. Like, you just need to take your baby steps. Like, if you're getting up at 8, all right, try just setting your alarm for maybe, like, you know, 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, come, you know, get adapted to that. All right, let's move it back half an hour, 6 o'clock. Just take baby steps with it. Like, you ain't got to try to force it. Like, you ain't got to go from, like, 8 to trying to wake up at, like, 4:30 in the morning like me. Like, you ain't got to do that. Like, that's a major jump. Like, you got to take, you know, really train yourself and be, you know, become comfortable, adapt, and then just keep changing as, you know, you start to become comfortable.
Yeah, because people don't know that, bro. When you're really trying to make change, some people can go cold turkey and just off the rip. But that's not the idea or ideal process for everybody. You got to take steps day after day, because one thing I learned that if you just tried to go, if you say one day, for example, say if I'm saying I'm going to start the gym next week, and next week comes, my first day, I haven't worked out in so long, but I just feel like I got to go crazy for the first day. After that first day, me going so hard, I'm not going to want to come back the next day.
Because your body's going to be, your body's gonna be screaming at you. Like,
you know what I'm saying? My muscles are tense. I probably didn't get enough sleep the night before. I probably didn't eat the proper food. I probably didn't hydrate. So I'm probably not going to come back the next day. Versus if I say to myself, okay, this week I'm going to start going to the gym. Monday, I'll start off 20 minutes on the treadmill. Tuesday, I'll do 20 minutes on the treadmill again, probably with some HIIT workouts. Wednesday, I might touch a few of the machines. It's a progressive thing you got to do. Just so that you don't look back. You know what I'm saying? Just so you don't look back and say, my body's gonna be hurt. I'm not gonna do this anymore. When you steady building up, it's good for you to look at as far as the progress, and it's better for you just for building habits and routine throughout the process as well. So, like, just for
the
audience,
like I said, take baby steps.
Yeah, it's okay.
One foot in front of the other.
You're like Nipsa. It's a marathon, not a sprint, man. Take your time.
Rest in peace, bro. Nip.
Yes, sir. Little progress is better than no progress. So remember that. As long as you're moving forward, no matter if it's a little bit of step, there's a lot. It'll be a lot better than you not stepping at all. So make sure you're moving forward.
Bars. I agree.
Shit.
Moving, man. What's your take on collaboration with people? Because as I said at the beginning of this podcast, now, you know, like I said, this was, you know, once just a one-man podcast where it was just me, you know, still interviewing people. But, you know, like I said, I wanted to collab with you because, like I said, I felt we was kind of like we've been in the same lane. Like, we both created brands, clothing brands at that, and all apparel. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I mean, outside of like that, you know, like if we want to kind of just get into, you know, like little, like basic stuff, yo, we both born in May, we're both Facts. Taurus, both got like a, like it's really wild. Like we both, like, it's really crazy. Like the fact that we've only known each other maybe what, 8 years now,
yeah,
about so 8 years, something like that. 2016. Yeah. Roughly about like 8 years. And so it's just like, damn, like, yo, me and bro actually have like a whole lot like in common.
Yeah, facts.
Like literally, like we running We running literally in the same lane. Yeah. Obviously now, you know, we're not stepping on each other's toes or nothing like that, but we running like parallel, you know, to each other. So
yeah, bro.
You know, like I just felt like this collab was just like
definitely necessary.
It was definitely beneficial. Like it would be beneficial for me because I'm like, here I am, I have a podcast. Mm-hmm. And there I have bro who literally is like we're both gaining an audience, but I definitely feel like you have you might have more of a reach on audience because of, you know, like some like a lot of like the past things you've done with like hosting like parties and stuff like that. So I know people probably, you know, you can manage to pull them along, and you've had the Sitchy brand going even before you even like, you know, stamped it and probably like trademarked it. Like you already had it going already. So how important do you feel like it is for people to like collaborate and, you know, just partner with each other?
Absolutely. So it's definitely key. Well, for one, you got to make sure you're collaborating with the right people that that will gravitate the same audience that you're looking for. That's for one.
Yeah, for sure. Got to be in alignment.
For two, yes. A lot of people think that what they get misunderstood is that, okay, say I want to collab with someone. Say I have a podcast, right? And I got all these followers, but then there's another person that has a podcast as well, but it's not buzzing at all, meaning that they're not too much of a following, don't really know too much about what's going on, and that person wants to collab with the person that's making all the noise. So when you look at it from that perspective, it's like, okay, the only thing that's going to come out of this is exposure for the person that's trying to come up. And which it can essentially turn into as being a favor. Because realistically speaking, with a collab, you're trying to join forces so that you guys can both mutually benefit off each other. Because if one person's benefits, it's either a favor is being done.
Or I was about to say, yeah, I was like, a favor is more so like, yeah, I'm just doing this
right
for you. Like, there's nothing, I'm not getting anything out of this. Like, that's a favor to me. Like, I'm doing this and I'm not getting anything out of it. But like,
right. So when you collab, think about to yourself, is this a favor or are we mutually growing? And when I look at between me and you, this is a mutual growing thing, because what you're doing and what I'm doing, we can we're benefiting in overall from the knowledge, from the resources, from the execution,
experiences,
experiences. Like I have a lot to share as far as knowledge and experience. You as well. We both got brands, so and our audiences are within the same, we're all within like the same umbrella, whether you're talking about your fitness, because even with fitness, my message still relates to that as well. You can't tell me you want to lose 50 pounds with a negative mindset. You got to be positive. And that's how that even right then and there, it's a tie right then and there. So our messages are very similar. The meaning behind it is all within under the same umbrella with the positivity. And, you know, it makes sense all the way for me, for us to be doing this together. When you look at it from that perspective or any other perspective you want to look at it, it's like we're both reaching towards positivity. We both want the best for one another and our audience to really get the real deal about life, fitness, execution, whatever the case may be. We're still pushing, whether it's motivation, positivity, we're pushing the same idea message overall with everything, and that's how we can join forces and really benefit from each other that way, you know.
No, I agree. Like you know, there's not many, I've had quite a few like different like partnerships and like collabs, like even with this podcast thing, you know, shout out to, you know, my boy Sev and Trey, you know, like that was like one of like my first, like very first podcast like I ever considered doing. Like that was a 3-man podcast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we only made it to like 7 episodes, but that was just due to the fact that I, at the time, I can be, you know, I'll openly say this, you know, I think at the time I might have been like a little selfish with wanting to kind of just run solo and kind of have my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though like a 3-man thing was, you know, it was solid, it was just, you know, the timing of it, you know, just it was just a little off for me. And like I kind of just, I've always had this thing where I was like, man, I kind of want to try this myself. Like I always be feeling like I have to do this myself, I want to try this myself, I gotta be a solo artist. But then realizing I'm like, yo, like you can make it solo artist, but I think when you have when you have somebody that you can, you know, align with, mm-hmm. and like you guys want to share the same, you guys all have like the same mindset and kind of want to share like the same kind of like value, why throw that away? Why not take the opportunity to make that work? And so like here I am again, you know, this is almost 3 years later now that here I am. I'm now going from, you know, podcast, you know, solo podcast to now, all right, well, now I just made this a duo.
Yeah,
so
now
be a duo podcast. So
yeah, bro, just like we were saying, bro, the biggest thing with collabing or doing anything with anybody else, bro, is making sure the person's aligned with your message and your type of showcase of whatever you're doing. Because a lot of people try to join forces with people and the work ethic's not there. One person's going to end up doing a lot more work than the other, and that's never fair. Like, it got to be a mutual thing all around, because I don't want to join forces with nobody that's not working hard, just as hard as me, or if not harder. Like, my main, even when I decide to really start delegating and having people hire on the team, if you're not working hard, I need you to work hard. I need you to want it more than I do, because me wanting the way I want is already a high level, but I need you to want it even more, because there's no room for nothing average here. Nothing here is average. And I just need people around, because if you want it more than I do, then I can still learn from you, although I'm putting you in position. And you never want to be in a position where you're the smartest person in the room. You know it all, because at the end of the day, you're under a cage. Where can you learn from? Who can you lean to for any type of resource or knowledge or experience or something? You know? So that's why it's important. I always have people around that you can learn from constantly, because if you're the smartest person in the room, then it's only going to go so far. You know?
Right. Like with like your team and stuff like that, like, you know, obviously you're bringing in people who are, you know, great at whatever you need, whatever task you need fulfilled. And I'm mm-hmm. sure like they have like, you know, an expertise where like somewhere you're just like, oh, okay, I really didn't know that. I'm glad I hired you, because now you just figured out something that I would have never known about, that I never heard of. So, you know, I totally agree with, you know, having, you know, oh my God. With having people who are in alignment. Oh, I don't know, I had a brain fart there. You know, having people who are aligned like on like your team and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Cuz I'm very like meticulous when it comes to like doing like certain things. Like I always want things done a certain way.
Absolutely.
And so like if you can't abide by that, then you know, I don't want you on the team. For one, I'll make you understand the value of the team. Now, if I show you a way to do something, you know, I want it done that way. Unless you can provide me with a way that is more efficient and more effective.
Right.
What I'm not going to do is that, you know, I'm not going to, you know, hound you about like, you know, doing something a certain way. I won't hound you about it, because I want to, you know, give people their space and, you know, creativity to, you know, flex their skills and let you do what you got to do. Yeah. I mean, the only real main thing for me is just making sure you're held accountable and making sure that you're getting done what needs to get done.
Absolutely. Make sure the drive's there. The passion got to be there, because, bro, like I said, when you relate back to how we had certain jobs, and I'm victim to this as well. Like, there's certain jobs I had before where I'm like, shit, if I know I get off at this time, I'm going to just milk the clock and go to the bathroom for a little bit and just bullshit. Or some real shit. Like, that's really what it was about. It was really just like milking the time out. Like, yeah, it's whatever. I don't really care too much. But in all reality, you need people that are not going to be like that, because you need shit to get done a certain way. Things have to be efficient. Things have to stay in play, have these systems. And you're only as strong as the weakest link. So if you got someone that's bullshitting and doing, it's all going to affect the workspace, the workflow somehow, some way. So just staying on your P's and Q's and just staying locked in, man, making sure you're here because you want to be here, not because you're just trying to make a come up because people do come up.
Just get a check, you know.
Right. And it's not like, you know, you want to make everything genuine. And, you know, you just want the hunger to be there. I don't want you to be here just because you have to be here. Be here because you want to be here and you want to learn and grow and be the best you can be.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree with that. I mean, if we want to really keep it like 100, though, like, let's be honest. I don't think there's really ever been a job where I was just like, yeah, I could see me doing this for the rest of my life. Or it's just like, I'm kind of just here to kind of just collect, you know, kind of just do it. Like, I'm here to just collect the check. You know, I'm just here. I'll be honest. There are jobs like that. Because to be honest, I've never really seen I've never stayed at a job more than, I think, 4 years. I think the YMCA was the only job that I've managed to stay at more than 4 years. Other job I had has literally just been like, it's been like maybe like a summer job or like I've been there maybe less than maybe like 2.5 years. Cause I'm constantly trying to figure out like what I like. And I'm like, yo, this corporate world just, it ain't for me. Like, I don't want to do this. Like, I don't want to have to set an alarm to go to work and help build somebody else's dream. Like, I want freedom. Like, I want to be able to wake up on my own time and, you know, I know that while I'm sleeping, I got money coming in.
That cash flow.
You know, like, I want that time freedom. Like, that's always been my why, like, just to have the time freedom. Like, I won't ever, I know I've, you know, I've said, like, financial freedom to myself plenty of times. But this is like, you know, are we ever really like financially free? Because it's just like, at the end of the day, we still live in this world where you have to pay Uncle Sam. And it's like I said, there's always something in your business that's going to be broken. So it's just like, you're always going to have money problems. Money is always going to be a problem. So I was like, I never ever look at, I don't really say financial freedom anymore. I always just kind of just lock in on time freedom. Like, just give me the time to do, I want the time to do whatever the hell I want. In that 24-hour period, I want to do what I want. The money, I mean, when the money will come in, I can find ways to make money. Obviously, I want to have an abundance of it because, you know, shout out to Ash Cash. Abundance is your birthright, or is our birthright. But time, man, because time is such a luxury.
Yeah,
and I want all of it. And, you know, again, quoting another man that, see, I got so many guys that I listen to because they put the right things in my ear. Pause. George Ashenpong from Melanin Money. You know, him and Carter Cofield, you know, I started following them last year. And, you know, he says something every time at the beginning of his episodes. He's like, the faster you get to your dream life, the longer you can live it. And I'm like, I gotta get to it.
Yeah.
Every time I hear him say it, like, I'm like, I have to get to it. Like, yo, I gotta stop playing. I can't keep fooling around. Like, yo, get on it so that way you can get to my, so I can get to my dream life.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it can happen in an instant. All a person really needs is one product, one service. You just need one thing to hit. That's all you need. You don't need a bunch of things to hit. You literally just need to find something and have that one thing hit.
Yeah, bro. And
stay consistent with that.
It's funny you say that because a lot of people think you gotta have all types of products and all types of little selling things to get. But when you find that winning piece, it's over. Congratulations. You won.
Well, I don't know if I won, but at least I like, okay, I see where this is going. So I ain't going to stop the momentum.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like you won as in you found the prize winning.
Heard you. Okay, I heard you. Got you.
Just so I understand. That, you know, now, at this point, all you got to do now is just market the hell out of it. Like,
That's how I felt with when I started doing the Amazon FBM, when I learned that grind last year, I was like, oh, shoot, this is a lot easier than trying to do the regular e-commerce route of, you know, trying to create your own product, slapping your logo on that product, and then having to market that product. Like, it's a lot harder to do that versus the FBM that I've been doing, where you're already leveraging, well, first of all, you're leveraging Amazon's marketplace, mm-hmm. and then you're leveraging the big brands. So all you need to do is just scan them, list them on your store, and boom. It's literally almost like drop shipping, except this time, you know, there's already, like, it's, you may just have to do shipping out yourself. I mean, if you go to FBA route, it's almost like that. But yeah, I was just like, yo, I've made damn near almost like what, 10? I think I've always made like 10K from that almost.
Damn.
Yeah. I mean, like last year, I think I made about eight. I made about eight something. I made about 8K. But like I did, again, you know, because of my lack of consistency, you know, being transparent, you know, I stopped when the store started slowing down. Like when I wasn't getting orders in by around like September or October, things just started slowing down. I was like, you know what? I'm good on this. When I should have just, you know, just continue to grind and continue to just keep scanning products and keep, you know, being consistent with just, you know, sourcing. Because it comes a time where you're gonna have that downtime.
Mm-hmm.
You're not gonna make any money from the month of, I think my final payout of 2023. I think it was probably like November, it's like October or November, beginning of November, and from November all the way up until February of this year, I didn't make a dime.
But that's the thing, though, like that at these points are really key. These moments are really key because this is where you have to put in your creativity and figure out how you can make up for the losses that's going on right now, or what you could be doing to try to advance in any type of way, because things are not going to always, like, just like a basketball player, LeBron James, he's not going to score 40 every single night. There's nights where he has 40, 50. 20.
I mean, at this age now, asking him to do that's just kind of outrageous, but you know, he do it if he got to.
Right. Just the idea, though, of knowing that things are not going to be 100% every single time, or a high earning every single time, will help you prepare for when things are low. You got to get in that creativity bag. Like when for me, when things are not moving as I want them to be, let's get creative. Let's make a video about it. Let's talk about why it wasn't working, or why people think it wasn't working. What could I have done better? What can I do better? What have I done in the past in my drops, my successful drops that I haven't done in this drop? It's really just getting your hands dirty a little more to try to figure it out. It's always some type of math or problem solving or trying to put pieces to the puzzle when it comes to things like that, because all this stuff that's happening right now, people look at it and think it's new, but it ain't nothing but a rerun. You know? And you just got to know and have that knowledge and confidence and positivity instilled in you to just to know that I could be down today and up tomorrow.
You just got to pivot. That's how I honestly see it. You just got to learn to pivot. And like I mentioned earlier, like, there's always going to be something broken in your business. Mm-hmm. So, you know, chances are, like I said, out of those six things that I listed, whether it's you, your product, your price, the delivery, the attempts, the audience, again, it's going to be one of those six things. And one of those things is off. So you just got to be willing to, like, adapt and just, all right, like you said, just sit down and kind of just
evaluate.
Really, really, yeah, just evaluate and just, all right, let's just pivot now. But you know what I think we need more of? Like, we need more, you know, we need to get together with others who are also thinking on the same frequency as us, so that way we can hold like these masterminds and write these off, because they're
absolutely.
When I learned the tax game from the boys in Melanin Money, from, you know, George, and shout out to Carter Cofield for when I bought his tax call last year.
That's what I got to do.
Believe me, I might have spent a hefty bag on it, but you know what? Now I understand the tax game. Mm-hmm. And for this year, for the past taxes for 2023, they owed me money.
Mm.
I ain't owed the IRS. No, Uncle Sam ain't get a dime from me this year. I ain't owe them nothing.
That's what's up, dog.
So when I learned the tax game, yo, changed my life. It is literally perfect. So if you are an entrepreneur, or yes, if you're an entrepreneur, business owner, that's who the tax code is for. Tax code is not meant for employees. And that's why most of the time, you're going to probably owe money to Uncle Sam at the end of the year. But if you become an entrepreneur, a business owner, and you start getting those deductions, yeah, you can really knock down how much you pay in taxes. So, like, that's just the cheat code right there that I learned last year to share with y'all. So make sure y'all check out Carter Cofield. Great tax advisor, great CPA, just great guy with money overall. So y'all check him out. Wow, bro.
Woo. Be going in, you know what I mean?
It's been something, man. It's been something. What do you feel? All right, you know, let's take a little twist and turn here. What's your take on all of this hip hop beef going on, bro? Because, like, I mean, like, I've kind of managed to stay caught up with it. Like, I'm trying to put all the pieces together to see, like, what songs are going where, but it's been kind of just going crazy lately. Like, you know, to my knowledge now, and I don't know how well you know, but okay, from what I recollect, Kendrick throws the first diss record, from my understanding. J. Cole now throws back with, you know, the Might Delete Me Later, the 7 minutes joint. Then I know Drake, he had a response also to Kendrick. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I'm trying to, like, keep up with it. And then I heard another joint where Rick Ross got involved. Mm-hmm. And he's coming at Drake. And I'm just like, I think Drake responded to that, and then I'm like all over the place with it. And then the other day I'm hearing Chris Brown throwing shots at Quavo, and then Quavo threw another shot at Chris Brown. I'm just like, yo, what? I mean, I love hip hop beef, like, to be honest. Like, I love it. I think the culture kind of needs it right now. But, you know, have you been able to keep up with it? Like, do you know what's going on? Like,
yeah, I know a little something. Oh, man. Well, first things first, I'm a Future fanatic. That's for one. And that's the only reason why I got hip to what's going on. Because this whole Future, Drake, Metro Boomin. Bro, honestly, I think it's just nonsense, bro, to be honest. Like, and I'm at a stage now where I don't care if none of this beef bullshit, dog. Just put this good music out and call it a day. Because now, bro, at the end of the day, like I said, I'm a diehard Future fan. And Drake's he's a monster, and we can never forget what him and Future did with the What a Time to Be Alive. But now with this beef, it's just like, damn, we ain't gonna get a What a Time to Be Alive too. And that shit hurts me more than anything. You know what I'm saying? That shit hurts me more than anything, bro. Because when they got in the booth together, they put it's magic. And the fact that it seemed like they beefing over a shorty or one of them will smash someone else's shorty. Like, just nonsense, dog. Like, come on.
I agree in a matter of, like, you know, obviously if it's over, like, women and shit like that, then, you know, petty shit like that, yeah, I don't care as much. But, you know, for me personally, I don't mind it, to be honest. Like, I enjoy finally hearing guys throw shots at each other, because I do feel like the hip hop has just been a little too, like, you know what? Let me not even sugarcoat it. Hip hop game has just been too friendly. It has been.
Yeah.
At least, you know, from, like, our OGs and stuff like that, you know, 50 came out shooting at everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. Every, you know, single body. That whole era with Jay-Z and Nas going at each other, 50 throwing shots at each other, Jada kissing Beans going at each other. Like, yo. T.I. and Ludacris and T.I. and Flip and all these guys that were just having problems with, like, man, like, obviously, you know, I don't want it to ever, like, you know, get to, like, violence or anything like that, but if you just keeping it a buck and just throwing, you know, just some words on the paper and just, you know, showing us your liquid sword, pause, yo, then I ain't mad at it. Let's go with it. Like, let's go. To be honest, if I'm gonna call it, like, right now, I mean, like, I did like Kendrick's verse for show on, like, on, was it like that? Is it like called that, yeah. Like that. That? So, you know, that was solid. And, you know, J. Cole came back with the 7 minutes. Watch, I was just like, whoa. Yeah. I was like, whoa.
I'm not going to lie.
My guy.
But it's just like, yo, at the end of the day, it's like, okay, yeah. This little rap beef or whatever y'all want to call it, it's entertaining. But then it's like, yo.
Yeah, I know it definitely is got to be for, like, you know, entertainment purposes or so.
And I just hope it stays that way because I'm like, yo, like I said, these are people that can really make great music together if they join forces, bro.
Oh, yeah, which I'm they've all done, like, probably, I'm sure, like, a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just, I don't mind a little controversy. That's just me, though. Like I said, I think as long as you just keep it, you know, just straight rap and just keep, like, the violence, like, out of it, mm-hmm. then, you know, this is hip-hop. Yeah. I enjoy it.
I could dig it. I mean, yeah.
You know, yeah, everybody might have their different takes on it, but, you know, like I said, this is hip-hop, and I just feel like it has been just a little too friendly. Like, I do feel like a little competition is necessary, you know, every, like, now and then to kind of just, you know, just spice things up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Nah, I hear that. Yeah, you know. I guess it's cool then, I guess. And then, you know, I guess we can rock with it for now.
Right, yeah. Oh, man. Oh, bro. It's been quite a episode here.
Absolutely.
A lot of game dropped. I really am looking forward to, you know, making this collaboration, you know, blow up, like, for real. So,
absolutely, that's what's gonna
do. You know, I thank you and appreciate you again for, you know, agreeing to become a part of, you know, what I was building here. You know, even though I'm still kind of, you know, still trying to get my head above water and swim, I ain't drowning yet. You know, I'm still treading water.
Yeah,
it might be a little slow. I ain't getting full, you know.
But as long as
butterfly stroke or nothing like that yet, but I'm getting there, you know. Like, I'm working, I'm moving through the water,
yep,
at my pace. So, just thank you again, bro, for being part of this platform. And like I said, man, I hope this becomes like a real magical thing, and we take it off to the takes off to the moon.
Bro, we going to the moon with this. That's for sure.
Agreed.
We definitely going to the moon with it. You know. And like I said, I appreciate you allowing me to come on here and speak my mind and give this free game and, you know, just be a part of something great, because the future needs this. We need it. Freaking everybody needs this, bro. And if you look at it, it's like, yo, only time we're seeing things like this is from people that we don't know that are far out. Like, this is going to be something more that's going to be for the people that are within reach of us as well, that can hear us, maybe even see us in person, and really just grow and know, like, because it's like, yo, a lot of our audience are people that we grew up with, and when people look at it from this perspective as like, okay, I'm watching his podcast, I grew up with him, he made it this far, I can do the same thing. So what it's going to do now is it's going to motivate other people to either do the same thing we're doing, or actually attack their dreams and their goals that they actually want to do, because we're setting goals, we're making it happen, and we're going to keep doing the same thing. And we're showing you that I'm just like you. I'm no different from you. The only difference is I'm focused, I'm locked in, and I'm doing things that make sense. You can do it too.
Get disciplined. I mean, to be honest, I just hope that, you know, the people that we, you know, that watch and see this, you know, the people's around us, mm-hmm. you know, that they don't wait too long to go after the things that they want or be scared to take those risks, because like Snoop Dogg said, you know, like, we gonna be up here and our peoples is gonna be down here, and as we go up, your peoples, they need to close the gap.
Yeah,
I'm not coming back down to save you. You need to, I'm up here now. Like, you need to be closing the gap.
Closing that gap, yeah, man.
I just hope that they just don't wait too long, because let's be honest, like, there's going to become a point where we might just become out of reach.
Yeah.
Now you're going to have to talk to my assistant to before you hear me. You're going to have to talk to my assistant. You have to talk to my security. Like, you're going to have to go through barriers to get to me, because, you know, I'm not saying I'm going to act all, you know, brand new and bougie, but it's just like, you know, if I become a very, very valuable person, like, yo, I'm not just going to waste time with, like, I'm not going to be doing that, bro. Like, I'm not going to, what may say, I don't understand the language of people with short money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, when I get to that point, like, yo, I ain't messing with nobody who just, you wasn't there.
Yeah.
You have to be there. Like, don't wait for me to get there, to get here, and then all of a sudden now you want me to help you. Nah. While I'm going through this, tag along with me, and then we can help each other climb that ladder together. But I'm not pulling nobody up. I refuse to pull anybody up. I ain't pulling a damn soul up.
Bro, all that entitlement and all that comes in, but it's like, yo, you didn't put none of this work in. Yeah, we grew up together, but did you put the work in? Did you put the money up? Did you sacrifice the time like I did? Did you put your money on the line, not knowing whether or not it's going to work or not, but had the positive mindset to know it's going to work, and it did work? Were you with me when I tried to take that risk? No. And you think that just because we grew up together, I owe you something?
Not happening.
Not happening.
Entitlement. Like, man, no, listen. I don't know too many people that feel entitled. I personally don't, but I'm sure there probably are plenty of people out there. Sure there are plenty of people out there. I'm sure probably when I make it, you know, to like a high enough value status, that I'm going to probably have people who are going to feel entitled. But I'm like, listen, nobody's entitled to anything. Like, nobody's entitled to anything.
Like, what did you Mountain Dew on some road? Like, what did you do? Like, for real, what did you do to feel like I'm responsible for your life now? Like, what did you do? And that's what you got to think about. And people just feel like,
I'm responsible for me and my family.
Right. Like, oh, he's doing this. He acting bougie now. He can't do this for me. No, it's not about that, because I do one favor. Now you're mad because I didn't do this favor. You can do people. You can help someone 100 times. That one time you tell them no, now niggas is fake. Now he too good for us. Oh, he too Hollywood.
And it's glad to know that's probably just. It's glad to know that that's all the feelings that you've been holding them for the longest time. You was waiting to finally just now expose that. That's how you truly felt this whole entire time. Because I had a vision, and I was willing to put my neck out there to go after it and attack, and, you know, go achieve my dreams. And you just wanted to sit there and complain. And just watch from the sidelines. You didn't want to get in the game.
They didn't want to get in the game.
So, like,
my
ain't nothing I can do for you,
that, but yo, listen, let me get this off my chest. Listen,
please get it off your chest, bro.
We already going over time. Listen to this, like, right? Problems are gonna occur in life. They're gonna occur no matter what, whether you're successful or not successful. The biggest thing is your mindset. Because I can have a problem occurring to me right now. But if I say to myself, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to figure this out. Guess what I'm going to do? Figure it out. But if I sit here and complain, oh, I don't have enough money for this bill. They're overcharging me. What is that going to do besides get your ass kicked out? Nothing. So when there's a problem that occurs, don't think to yourself, oh, if somebody's focused, they didn't give me no money to pay for a bill or something. Think to yourself, how can I be proactive right now and make it where it's never going to be an issue again? Ask yourself those questions. Because we feel like every time something go wrong, it's everybody else's fault but yours.
Gotta be a solution.
Is you're responsible for your happiness, your mental, your wealth, all the above. Because I could be broke and still be happy. And I could be rich and be miserable.
I heard you.
Remember that.
Listen, like, Man.
Bars. Hey, we just getting started, Keelan, man. We just getting started, man. It's the first episode, and we went crazy, man. And yo, we got some more gems to get. Cause I'm ready to go for another 5 more hours, but you know we gotta cut it off.
Listen. I gotta listen, believe me, I created this platform so I can, believe me, I could get some shit off my chest for real. Listen, a lot of people know me that I don't really talk a lot, but gotten to a point now where I'm just like, you know what? What Andre 3K say? The self got something to say? Yeah, killer got something to say.
Yeah, let it out.
Normally I don't like to speak on a lot of stuff because most of the time I try not to speak on things that I don't have knowledge of. But there's a lot of opinions that a lot of people may, you know, they might ask my opinion on it. Sometimes I don't have an opinion on it.
No, we don't have an
opinion. Just because they're not going to have, you know, but if I did, I'll tell you this. Like, there's a lot of things where I'm just like, I need to get off. I got at least, I can't say 30 years because I want to say at least probably since, what, kindergarten? I want to say roughly about 25 years worth of things that I need to say.
Absolutely.
Because this has been a lot that I've just been quiet about my entire life. And then, you know, I think I'm tired of being like the real like reserve type man.
Absolutely. Let's talk about it.
Nobody's really seen me unhinged and really, you know, shoot from the lip.
Yeah.
They ain't seen me go crazy yet. Ain't nobody really seen me really go off yet.
They ain't seen that with me either.
I got a lot to say. This Taurus right here, this is about to be something different. Like,
it's about to get crazy because
you think Dame Dash is wild and always be yelling at people and be wild, man. Even though you know that's just, you don't really. I think some people just misunderstand Dame, but yeah Dame, it's just.
Everything he say makes sense. It just don't make sense to the person that, you know what I'm saying, that's not getting to it.
Yeah, no, it's just most people just look at it as like combative, like the way he, it's just how he says it.
That's how he says it.
Because he puts so much, you know, energy into what he's saying. Like this, the patch sucks a powerful punch, pause, that it's just like, yo, damn, bro, why are you so aggressive about it? Like, no, he's not aggressive about it. He's just passionate about it. Like,
very passionate.
This is all it is. It's passionate. Like, you understand, like, now that I think about it, bro, like, Taurus really are, like, the shit. Like, really thinking about it, I'm, like, thinking about, yo, like, someone, like, look at Dame Dash, who's just, like, a prolific speaker, man. That man goes after everything that he wants. Someone like 19 Keys. Shout out to 19 Keys. Brother, the thought leader, ain't scared of shit, man. Mm-hmm. Look at Malcolm X. Another thought leader, man. Things that he went to, like, fearless. Like, Taurus is really fearless, like, out here. So, I think it's about time that I, like, officially kind of tap all the way into that.
Absolutely, so, bro. We got a lot to give.
Go there.
We got a lot to give. And I can't wait till we get into these other topics about women entitlement.
Oh. I don't want to go into entitlement, and we literally just briefly covered entitlement, but now we know we can have a little conversation about entitlement, men entitlement, and you know, women entitlement. So we're gonna get into that for sure. Man. Definitely,
bro. This was a good one, though, man.
No, I agree. Facts. So again, y'all, make sure y'all like and subscribe to the channel. Make sure y'all tap in with Sitchy as well. What's the YouTube channel, bruh?
The YouTube channel is Sitchyville. That is
Sitchyville.
SitchyVille.
So make sure to put those down in the show notes and in the description.
Yes, yes.
This has been the MG Podcast, y'all. We out of here.
We out of here. Deuces.